The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello!
And welcome to...
Two!
Filthy!
Nerds!
Because we're filthy!
And we're nerds!
And there's one...
Two of us. Yep. We're here. We did it. We survived yet
another
day. By
the way, that wind just blew your fart into me.
I'm so sorry. Let me turn
No, no. It's okay. Keep it oscillating. It's great. Every time you fart, I want it...
No, I want it to blow directly at you.
I want it spitting directly.
Time.
Thank you so much. Now I'm just... It was on oscillate. Now it's just...
I mean, if I would have known this, I wouldn't have farted before we started recording. I would have just farted on camera. I knew...
It was an anticlimactic fart. It was a silent one.
That's what you think. The climax comes very slowly.
Yeah.
And very horrifically.
Yeah. The silent ones are always, as they say, the deadliest.
Silent deadly.
She did a tilt. I love when people tilt to fart. Those are true farters. People who tilt to fart, those people appreciate a good fart. I don't like it when people fart and they just sit there and like muffle it. No. Let it breathe.
Also, that you think you can muffle it is hilarious. Yeah. That it's like, yeah, I'm tilting in hopes of spreading my cheeks enough that it'll just out.
Get it
like
all
someone
out.
Someone who's been railed in the butt a whole bunch.
Really?
I'm surprised your farts ever make noise now that I've said that.
Yeah, no, they just come out like... Like just a breath of hot air, just a. Anyhow, today
we're running our filthy mouths about something.
No. Let me preface this really quick. I walked in. This is our little podcast studio. I walked in. It is Jessica Michelle's birthday coming up at the end of the week, but she decided to give me some presents. That for those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, I'm doing air quotes presents. She gave me. Hold on.
A pile of self-help books. Hey, because they don't have to just be self-help. They can also be friend help.
Or and just an insult.
I need to lighten up my very small bookshelf. So I thought, who better to give these books to than a person who openly said that they go to me as a source of wisdom?
Yes. Now so here she's taking this job very seriously now.
This is what you get for saying that.
Okay.
I'm
so
using it against you.
We just want to go off about self-help books because this fucking industry...
Ugh.
Is gonna make everybody crazy before it helps anybody.
Self-help books don't work. If they did, there would only be one self-help book.
Exactly. I don't know why there's 8 million of them. And I love how there's like different sections within self-help. There's love yourself the way you are. There's, 100 ways to change yourself. And then the third section is now you're just crazy and bipolar. Like it just makes you fucking nuts.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's, they feed off of, because in theory, they're helpful.
Okay, here are the things.
But they feed off of people wanting to be better.
Wanting to be happy.
And most people are never happy all the time or constantly want to be better. And also if you're someone who's chronically depressed and you're like, if I just get through one more of these books, I'll have the answer. Yes, they feed at our endless search for happiness.
And they prey on our fears. Because our fears is that we're not enough.
Yeah.
And let me just go through some of these book titles, okay? You Can Heal Your Life.
Thank you, so, Lisa Sunstep, for passing that on to me. Actually, I think I have to give it back to her. So
Louisa L.
Hay. Don't ruin it. Anyway, it's like tattered.
I'm going to come all over these pages.
Louise L. Hay is a known self-help person.
So You Can Heal Your Life. So what she's saying is your life needs healing. Your life's not good. Whatever way your life is, you know, let's fix it.
Yeah.
Why?
Like that book title also, but it's like.
So someone who's just depressed goes to the self-help section looking for something to help them not be so depressed. And they see a book that's like, you know what? You should heal your entire fucking life. That's the problem. Not just, you know, that you're depressed and sad and you don't know what's going on. Your whole fucking life needs healing.
If I could interject really quickly.
Yes.
If you're feeling depressed, I don't think going to the bookstore is the way to handle it. Unless books are your happy place. And then I would maybe stay out of the self-help
section. I would just go to a drug dealer and get mushrooms.
I once downloaded an audiobook of a self-help book called The Self-Love Project. And I listen to my audiobooks at 2x the speed because mm-hmm. that's how my brain likes to consume.
Yes, I like doing that too.
And I was listening to it and I was like, this is great. I'm motivated. This woman was just so high energy and she's like, you can do it. Here's how it helped me. And then I changed it to
regular.
And this was like more than halfway through the book. And I was like, just out of curiosity, I realized, oh, I don't know what she actually sounds like. Because I started following her on Instagram. I turned it to regular and I was like, have I been getting self-love advice from a woman who is on barbiturates? And I think had a piece of candy in her mouth while she was recording.
Oh, just a butterscotch.
Just like a butterscotch corner mouth. Yeah, just yeah. like. And I was like, I've been getting advice
from. You're like, Nicole's dead grandma is giving me advice?
Yeah. Oh, have you read that book, Girl, Wash Your Face?
No.
That woman is insufferable.
But you know what? Beyonce once said if she were going to give girls any advice, it's wash your face before you go to bed. So I don't know why there's a whole book on it when Beyonce just quoted it once and that was it. And I was sold.
This was written by a woman whose relationship situation, the first guy she dated, she ended up marrying and he was a very successful like Disney exec. Mm-hmm. And she's in there like, if you haven't found the right one, it's like, fuck you.
Fuck also, you, bitch.
I read recently that this woman, I'm not trying to say her name. I just don't fucking remember who it is. Rachel something. Her and her husband were doing these like happy relationship, strengthen your marriage mm-hmm. seminars that uh-huh. thousands and thousands of people are coming to. And by the way, to come, it was like over $1,000.
Uh-huh. Please tell me they got divorced.
They're getting divorced.
Yes! Yes!
You fraudulent fucks.
You fucking assholes.
So just think of that woman next time you get head over heels for a... A self-help person.
Self-help anything.
We don't need to go through every chapter.
I just want to read one of the chapter headings. It's how to change, just so I could emphasize what I said earlier. Next book, Quantum Healing, Exploring the Frontiers of Mind-Body Medicine. It's Deepak Chopra.
It's very good. It teaches you about changing the patterns in your
ooh,
brain.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Teachings on Love.
Thich Nhat Hanh. That's not a self-help book. That's more of a... That's a little
if you can barely pronounce their name, they know what they're talking about.
I think that's true. I think trust the people with foreign names. Don't yes. get a self-help book from a man named
Americans
John Smith.
Don't know about happiness. People in Southeast Asia know about happiness.
Never eat alone.
Never eat alone.
Actually, that one you don't need. You can yeah. afford to eat by yourself. For God's sake, leave me alone. Quit dragging me to
Thai food. I want to eat alone too. I love dragging her to Thai food.
I will say it's... Keith Ferrazzi, which...
Now, is that a diet book or a self-help book?
I honestly don't know. Another comedian who stayed in my room years ago, we did a room swap, Kate mm-hmm. Willett, left it and said I could have it. And I don't know if it's self-help, like it's a suggestion. But she said it's great.
Oh. She's like, use that. I've never eaten alone since.
Wow, it has highlighting in it and
a
color.
By the way, who's sitting at home like, oh, all I do is eat alone? Next book up, How to Be Depressed, A Guide. Hey, this one is like an Urban Outfitters style coffee table book. Lots of like cute print.
This is actually a satire. This is written by a very funny comedian, Dana Eagle. So that one I just
It's a joke. Do you have your shrink on speed dial? Back of the book. Do you have poetry? Does your poetry have tear stains on it? I can't read.
When people say they're happy, do you think they just have low standards?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
I knew you would like that book.
For sure have low standards. That book I'm going to save for last. Next one. In the meantime, Finding Yourself and the Love You Want.
By Avanki Blah Blah Blah. So
yeah,
you
great
know it's good.
See, foreign name. The Artist's Way. I don't know if you're trying to help me or telling me I'm a bad comedian.
No, I'm just saying you could be a little more creative.
And she also gave me the workbook for it. She's like, do the goddamn work, bitch. Own the Day, Own Your Life.
Hey, this is by Aubrey Marcus and it's signed.
Is that a fitness book?
No, I mean.
She looks so fit. She should not have put herself looking fit on. Oh, it's a man looking fit
no,
on the
No, there
cover.
Is on the back.
Oh.
It's about being fit, but it's also about self-care.
Having a fit mind.
And that one I thought maybe you'd just for it to brush up.
And then Judaism for Dummies. She's okay. Like, you're a bad Jew, says the half Jew. Oh, and the final one, she's like, this one's really important.
Okay, you guys.
It's called Attached. The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love.
If you've listened to any prior episode, especially recently, I don't think anyone would disagree that that's a good book for you.
Okay.
Well, attachment styles are a big deal. And I think it's I don't know, a thing more people could afford to learn about. But I don't know. I have a mixed relationship with the self-help industry.
You have read more self-help... Actually, no. Dana Moon has read the most self-help books of anyone I've ever met. And Dana, honestly...
You guys heard her on my other podcast?
I think she's still on first base as far as self-help goes.
She's clinging for her sanity too, like the rest of us.
Yeah, she is white-knuckling it through a day.
Ignorance is blessed to hear her, by the way, on a recent interview talking about being single in quarantine, and that's where we both were losing our shit. But yeah, no, it's... That's the thing, is that you can get addicted to trying to self-help. You know what I mean? And like, they cash in on that. There's people who make authors of these books, they're gods.
Yeah.
You know? Tony fucking, what's his name?
Tony Robbins. It's a god. Have you heard about Landmark Forum?
No.
It's like a self-empowerment seminar. I don't know what it is. So many people I know who've gone to it have been like, you'll really benefit from this. It's really great. I'm like, well, what do they do there? They're like, it just helps you be better. I'm like, could you tell me more? Because it's a couple $1,000s to do it. I'm like,
It sounds like a cult.
It does sound like a cult.
I'm not paying something that I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $10 for
something. Pitch it to me.
Seriously.
You can't just tell me it's going to help me in life and that's going to be enough.
I had a friend who in the past...
I had a person.
Well, I had to think about it because we're not friends anymore. Not because of the situation, but it was a telling red flag.
Okay.
Who once, as a gift to all of her friends, bought tickets for us to go and save this date, tickets to go to this man who tells women how to get a partner.
And he's like
very popular.
Guidance.
Oh, this is how to be better. Oh, how you can find your love. And literally everyone's like, I can't make it. And one friend had the courage to go, this is a little insulting.
Yeah. Very insulting.
And she's like, why? And it's like, yeah, just because I'm single doesn't mean I'm fucking like, well, how do I meet someone?
That's one of the things that annoys me.
What also the audacity of a man? It's like, oh, well, what is your opinion of how a woman should be to attract a mate? Fuck you.
He's like, you need to change the way you dress.
Stop
you need to change the way
slob.
You speak.
Yeah.
Don't be too much. Oh, I love when guys are like, you're too much. Oh, I'm too much. Oh, sorry, I have standards and I want things.
That
makes me too much. I said something about that on Twitter recently. And so many guys wrote back. They're like, have fun being a cat lady. Like,
I would rather die in a pile of cats than have to suffocate who I am for the comfort of a fucking oaf of a man who's probably going to let me down anyway.
Or physically suffocate you.
Yeah. It's always the fucking grossest people who are like, you should be better.
It's guys who have fucking, Avatars. They have avatars not of their faces because they would never do anything personally.
Or like a weird comic book character. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? No one cares
about
your opinion.
By the way, if you're anonymous on Twitter, like you don't have a picture, you don't have a name, you don't have a website, you don't have a bio something, and you're just shooting insults, you're...
A coward.
You're a coward. You're just a fucking coward.
Also,
like, have the balls to be insulting and own who you are.
Yeah, it's also just, what are you doing? That can't be fun. What's the worst part about internet trolls is imagining this person sitting there getting in an argument with, like, a real person while they're an egg or just, even if they're not an egg, and just being like, oh, man, I'm so funny. And it's like, no.
Well, I wish I had that fucking person's confidence.
Ugh.
That is a level of confidence that is just astounding to me. There are so many trolls who just honestly think they have all the answers.
Oh, it's so
really
unbearable.
And truly. Like, their confidence on Twitter is wild.
Yeah, I love, by the way, that just everyone's an expert.
Everyone's
like,
an expert.
Like, fuck you. Unless you are a registered expert of the one subject we're talking about. And even then, there's no such thing as a fucking expert.
Yeah.
There's someone who knows a lot more than other people because they put all of their time into that one thing.
Yeah. Also, registered expert. Unless you have a fucking PhD in a topic and you have over 10,000 hours clocked on that topic.
And that's what I meant by registered expert, because I don't know what the
fuck that means. I want to emphasize exactly what a registered expert means to me. Unless you're those things... Which you're probably not, because if you were, you wouldn't be on Twitter fucking harassing people. You wouldn't have time to, because you'd be out there
learning and being more of an expert in your field.
So experts aren't on Twitter trolling people. So just shut the fuck up.
I love how we went shut from self-help the fuck up. Books
yeah.
to we're now screaming about trolls.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to trolls. Listen, this is our form of self-help. We're helping the trolls. If you have troll tendencies,
yeah,
should we write a self-help book for trolls?
Maybe. This is what I was going to say, is that I have mixed emotions about self-help books, because half the time it's like, come on, this is fucking stupid. But then I read one and I'm like, oh, wow, that's good. That's a good point.
But don't you feel like they're reiterating things you already know in your head?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of them, yes, that's what I was going to say, are comfort blankets for you to go, oh, well, I already had that thought. I guess I'm on the right path.
Oh, so you think it's just something to like kind of reinforce that you're okay?
Not all of them, but I think a lot of what many of them do, especially if you're someone who gets in the habit of reading multiple self-help books, they have to be repetitive.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, you're just going, I thought that, and now this book that is allegedly from the someone who knows their shit is validating this thing I already thought.
So it's like positive reinforcement.
Yeah, which isn't necessarily bad. I have, for a long time, been considering, should I write a self-help book, but aimed at people who think self-help books are pieces of shit? Like,
yeah, you should write that. I remember when I read... You are a badass. I can't remember.
You're a badass. You are a badass. You're a badass at making money. She's got a whole franchise. If you hit it right, you can start covering all the bases.
Yeah, she covered all the motherfucking bases. But I remember I listened to her book on tape, and I also had the physical copy because I like to read self-help. If I read a self-help book without the person who wrote it narrating it, then I just read it in my own sarcastic voice.
Yeah.
I'll be like, Oh yeah. You just don't let the people in your life judge you.
That's not your voice.
The voice.
Whoa, back up. Whose voice is that? Where does that voice come from?
Whose voice was that?
Because that is what a therapist will tell you, is that voice that's criticizing you, not your voice. It's someone from your childhood. And that's how you view the world. Anyway,
I'm reading it in a warped voice, not accepting what the words say.
Yeah, you're reading it in the judgmental voice that you're trying to get rid of, which is the reason you fucking got a self-help book to begin with.
So if I do the book on tape, and I also have the words there in front of me because I'm a visual learner, if I have it like that, then I'm hearing it in the author's sincere voice where they're fully getting behind what they're saying because they wrote it.
Yeah.
It just reinforces. That's the way I think self-help books should be consumed.
Yeah. Well, because there always ends up being something in there where, you know, some sort of assignment.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would do just auditory.
Yeah.
But that's why with Attached,
yeah.
The reason I even have that book is because I listened to it and I was scribbling on paper and I was like, you know what? This is so good. I may want to come back to it. I may want to share it with someone. So I bought the book thinking I may end up just sharing it with someone who I thought was interested in the concept. I mean, we brought up, I don't know if we did it on the podcast, it may have just been in the live reads, which by the way, if you want to take part in our live reads, patreon.com/twofilthynerds. We've been doing a ton this week for the birthday week. And then
we do live viewings of the movies at the end of each book. It's super fun.
Lots of fun. It's so much fun. We started talking about love languages and you have this concept called fight languages.
Yeah.
And it's not even close to the same thing, but attachment styles, I kind of think I was very interested when I learned about love languages that spoke to me. And I was like, it really opened my eyes to a lot of.
Yeah.
That was a huge thing. If you guys aren't familiar with the five love languages, look into it because it can really teach you how better to communicate and how to live with people you love and how.
And also accepting people the way they are, because the way you love might not be the way someone else loves. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But you just need to understand it.
Learn what they're expressing or what makes them feel loved, et cetera, et cetera. So having heard you speak on that, I thought, you know what she may really enjoy learning about is attachment styles.
Okay, well, I'm going to crack into this and then maybe we'll circle back and have a review of it at some point. And I'll tell you what I've learned and I'll tell you what my attachment style is. Am I going to find that out in there? What my attachment style is?
Yeah, you are. Okay. And also if it's mine, you're going to be infuriated.
Really?
But
it will probably be yours.
Here nor there.
Because
it is one of those things where like that cracks open the beginning of then going, all right, now I know this. Where do I go from here?
Yeah.
But, you know, a book can only have so many pages.
Yeah.
So anyway, what should I call my self-help book? Right now I'm thinking self-help for people that think self-help is for pussies.
How about help self?
Help your damn self.
Helpself.com. Put the URL in the book title.
Betterhelp.com/JMS.
Yes. Just a really terrible name for a book.
Help! All right. Anything else? Anything you want to add about the self-help industry? What are your thoughts?
It's just,
do you,
you
have
know,
a favorite book, by the way?
You Are a Badass, I think. That was the first self-help book I've ever read where I'm like, it's not, she also kind of like makes fun of the woo-woo-y self-help books. It's woo-woo-y, but not in a super like out there woo-woo-y way. It's very practical. And it's also, she was able to pull from her life and say, this is where I was before I developed this philosophy. And this is where I am now. And it just felt very actionable.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was down in the dumps. I was living in the street. And it's just like, she's like, I wasn't living my life to the fullest. And now I am. And it was just, it just seemed like a practical leap. Like, I'm not looking to completely evolve into another creature.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, she gives you actionable things that you can implement into your life where it felt like, okay, this is realistic. This much I can do.
Okay. And did you do any of it?
Yes. I think one of the big things I took away from it is there will be people in your life when you start to break through and do better and be better will try to pull you back down because they're not comfortable with you being better.
Yeah.
They need you to be not.
They like the small version of you.
Yeah. And that for me was like, I was able to be like, oh, okay, there are people like that in my life. Identify who they are. Not necessarily like get rid of them, but just identify who they are and be like, okay, you know what? Your opinion doesn't matter as much to me anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, no one's opinion should really matter to you.
Yeah.
Other than your own.
But like, I mean, like I said, I'm not about to make a fucking miracle of a change. I'm still going to fucking care about people's opinions.
Every
I'm a fucking,
one of them.
I'm codependent and in a 12-step program for it.
Have
but
you read Codependent No More?
Yes, I have. I took the book from my roommate, Cody. Thanks, Cody Heller.
Cody Pendant.
Cody, if you're wondering where your book is, I still have it. I'm reading it, you know, very slowly. One page a month. Yeah, for sure. She wanted to go to a codependent program, but she
didn't have anyone to go with.
So. There you go.
We are thinking about starting The Artist Way. I don't know about you.
So let's do The Artist Way.
If anyone's genuinely interested in getting a group together,
yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I've already done it two times. Well, one and a half times. But I'm willing to start it again and go full throttle.
Anyway, I guess that's it. I guess we can get into the episode.
Yeah, let's get into the episode. Let's Harry Potter it up.
All right. Look forward to our self-help episodes. Find us on Patreon. And now, time for Potter.
Bye. Chapter 29.
The Dream.
Okay, so shit's getting
pretty
insane.
Pretty crazy.
So this chapter starts off, as all chapters start off, with Harry catching Ron and Hermione up on the drama.
Yeah, what just happened? What's going on? So
he tells him about Crouch disappearing and Victor getting knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, and so he's basically just like, it's crazy. Voldemort's definitely getting stronger.
He, of course, has to write a letter to Sirius and let him know what's going on. And so they go to the Owlery.
Obviously. And then they overhear while they're up there, coming up the stairs, Fred and George talking about blackmailing someone.
And they're like, what is going on? Because it's like, Fred and George, they're definite troublemakers. But, like, would they be doing something super illegal that, like, blackmail would be a thing? Like, you know, I don't think anybody would put it past them. But it's like, that's kind of worrisome.
Yeah, because it's like, until now they've seemed like harmless pranksters.
Yeah.
And then hearing them talk about blackmail, but knowing they're also pranksters, so they're willing to break rules.
Yeah.
Ron's like, well, rules haven't stopped them in the past.
Yeah.
But it could be something heavily illegal. Hermione's like, maybe you should tell Percy, which is the fucking stupidest
thing. Yeah, don't tell Percy.
But
Percy is such a narc.
Yeah.
Like, Percy, honestly, I do think Percy is, like, Crouch level of sell your family down the river.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God. I hope not.
Well, you know what's coming, so, I hope not, but I do feel like that's probably the case.
Yeah, and they come in the Owlery, and there's this very, like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? What are you doing? Yeah, everybody's
cartoonishly, like, saying the same thing at the same time, and Fred and George are not going to tell Ron anything. So... it's just this fucking...
they part ways.
Yeah.
They run into Moody.
Yeah. Who tells...
There's no sign of Crouch.
Yeah. And he's also
and of course, Moody, his number one suggestion.
Constant vigilance.
Now, for those of you listening, head over to our YouTube because Jessica Michelle really, really hammed it up for this one.
We have fashioned Mad-Eye Moody glasses.
Yeah, we have Mad-Eye Moody glasses.
And I even didn't wash my hair for weeks to prepare for this role.
She really is a method actor. Okay?
A meth head actor.
She actually wanted to pop her eye out of its socket for
this
one.
They had to restrain me. I was going to.
She goes hard. She goes hard. So constant vigilance. He's like, "You, Ron, Hermione, fucking look out for Harry.
Yeah,
it's, look out
it's for
important.
Your boy, you know?"
And then, of course, they get a letter back from Sirius. Sirius emphasizes the same thing. Like, be careful. You didn't get into the Triwizard Tournament for coincidence, you know?
Yeah. So he's like, you know, if they're trying to nab you during this tournament, the third task is going to be the last one. So just, we don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Just fucking keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah.
Stay alert.
And he's like, oh, and by the way, practice like hexes and charms. Like, learn all those things.
Yeah. Because you're probably going to need them.
To get through the maze.
Through the maze.
The shit's going to happen.
God forbid.
Yeah.
Through anything else.
So Harry heads off, learns those things, and then heads to divination class.
Yeah, and it's hot. It's up in the attic, so fucking we all know heat rises.
And it's divination class.
So it's exhausting.
Harry fucking dozes off.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help that there's fucking probably like the smell of essential oils in the
air.
Yeah.
God, eucalyptus? Oh my God. Oh, for sure. Just a little Nag Champa, sage, and eucalyptus out like a charm.
Yeah, he even like cracked the window open a little to try to like get some air.
Yeah.
But he fucking conks out. Then he starts having a vivid dream like he did at the beginning of the book.
Uh-huh.
He's... an owl is like soaring into this abandoned house where he sees Voldemort. I mean, he doesn't see Voldemort.
He has visions of Voldemort plotting with Wormtail.
Yeah. And he puts the Cruciatus
curse on Wormtail.
And for a blunder, but then the owl has.
If he's never really seen what Voldemort looks like, how does he know it's even Voldemort? I mean, whatever.
I think he's making
assumptions. That just seems like a hole, but whatever, yeah.
But he never really sees. He's always like in a chair and stuff.
Yeah.
He's always like, it's his back.
And of course, he wakes up and his scar is like fucking on fuego.
Yeah, so he's like screaming. He's on the ground in divination. And of course, Trelawney's like, what happened? Was it a vision? Tell us. Oh.
Trelawney is like, was it a vision of death? Yeah. I've been right.
I mean, she was fucking stoked. And honestly, I know that everyone hates Trelawney from the student perspective and from this bullshit of, you know, constantly, you know, saying there's going to be death. But if you're a divination teacher, you see that shit happen.
Yeah.
And he's like shouting things. Uh-huh. I would be like, wait, yeah, maybe. Wait, this guy might, I think maybe he can see the.
I think it's so funny. What if she this whole time didn't fully believe her thing, her craft? And all of a sudden Harry has this and she's like, oh my God.
It worked.
Oh, this bullshit was right. I knew it. I mean, I didn't know it, but now I know it.
I knew it. And Harry's fucking mortified. He doesn't want to tell her anything. He's like, I have to go.
He like runs out embarrassed and frightened, whatever. And then he's like, I need to see Dumbledore.
So honestly, thank fucking God. How many times has Harry been like, I should tell Dumbledore, but I don't want to bother him?
Now, finally, he's going to go tell Dumbledore. This was one of my favorite parts when Harry gets to Dumbledore's door and he has to like get the password.
Yeah, and he
just starts throwing out 8 million different phrases.
Yeah, and most of them are candy. He gets mad. He kicks the gargoyle, doesn't move. And he's like, lemon, shit. And then he says, what, chocolate cockroach? Cockroach?
Yeah, something with a
cockroach cluster.
Cockroach cluster. And it opens.
And
he's like, cockroach cluster? That was it?
Yeah, like that was the...
Okay. I was kidding, but that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes up, and as if you guys recall, when you get into Dumbledore's entrance to his office, you get on a stone staircase and it like moves you up to the door to his office. And he gets outside the door to his office.
And he hears Moody and Cornelius Fudge and Dumbledore all talking. And they're talking about Dumbledore's like, I think Voldemort's gaining power. I think he's coming back. He's going to rise again. And Fudge is like, no fucking way. He thinks all this that's going on is Madame Maxime or something.
Yeah, he thinks that it's like, oh, all of this must be. Yeah, he's trying to blame Madame Maxime.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, he's racist.
Yeah.
What's going on? Because he thinks, you know, he knows she's a half giant.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's something a vicious giant would do. It happened near her carriage. But it's like, she was.
Yeah.
It's just him. I think being in denial, and I don't know if it's out of personal fear or out of like, this is a thing the ministry's going to have to address,
yeah.
And that's a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
I could lose my job if I fuck this up, or it's just a stressful thing to have to handle. I mean, it's the way probably so many governments were dealing with coronavirus.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit's hitting the fan. Now time to put my fucking money where my mouth is when I said I wanted to lead a country.
Well, also... I feel like because of what happened at the Quidditch Cup and the Ministry of Magic fucking up badly there, It's like, I feel like if you shift the blame as far away from the Ministry of Magic.
As possible?
As possible. I think he's just probably paranoid from that whole thing that happened.
Yeah, so basically Madame Maxime is to Cornelius Trump what China is. I mean, Cornelius Trump.
Cornelius
Fudge.
Can somebody make a hybrid design of Cornelius Fudge? Cornelius Fudge is...
Cornelius Trump.
Fudge
put, like,
body.
His bowler on.
Yeah.
His green bowler
Can
on.
Can you put the comb over on Cornelius Trump? Cornelius Fudge. We're never going to stop saying Cornelius Trump.
Boy, we have gotten too deep into this book that we're now bringing it into full real life.
Anywho, so Moody is like, you know what? Because Harry Potter's standing outside the door and he wants to talk to you.
Yeah, he like wraps it up and they think that he's trying to get out of it. And he's like, no, it's just like Harry Potter. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's right outside.
Harry's here.
So Harry's like, fuck.
I give it a head. Moody really does know fucking everything.
Yeah, and that's where our chapter ends. Right. Chapter 30.
The Pensieve? The Pensieve?
The Pensieve.
Pensieve.
Excited.
I love how excited you got for this chapter. You think this chapter is so cool.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I love it when we start a chapter and you're like, ooh, this going to be good.
I mean, I call it like I see it. When it's going to be a good chapter, I am fucking... I'm ready.
I love a good flashback. I gotta be honest.
Oh, me too. And I like the way she does them.
Does them.
Oh.
JK does them.
I should write a book about shelf help, and I can't even use the right words.
Shelf help?
Shelf help. Leave this book on the shelf. You're never gonna read it. Yeah. Your life is never gonna get better.
When you keep it on the shelf, it's a lot of help.
Shelf help.
That's your book. That's your self-help book.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about how I've succeeded by never letting anyone help me.
Keep it on the shelf.
Yeah. Does someone want to help you get better? Don't let them.
Take the love you're getting from everyone around you and put it on a shelf.
Just
store it away.
You can look at it, never take it down.
Go to the Container Store, get some nice receptacles, and just store it.
Maybe you need to meet a person who would be a perfect partner. Just put them on a shelf for later.
Yeah.
And never let them
elf
down.
On a shelf. Exactly. See?
That's...
Now you have a symbiotic relationship with an elf. Anywho, so Harry goes into Dumbledore's office and Dumbledore's like, Harry, just stay right here. We gotta go check the ground. So all three of the guys leave and Harry's sitting there and he sees this glowing light coming from a closet and Harry, who just can't help but fucking put his nose in shit, heads over to it and it's this like basin thing. It's like a bowl thing.
It's like a
there's
bowl
like
basin.
Silvery shit in it.
Yeah, there's...
And Harry starts poking it.
Yeah, he does. He starts poking it with his wand. What's going on? Puts his face near it, and then it sucks
him in.
And he's sitting in a courtroom surrounded by all these other witches and wizards.
And Dumbledore's there.
Yeah, he's sitting next
like
to
a slightly younger version of Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Not too crazy young, but younger.
But noticeably younger. And he realizes no one
can see him.
Can see him.
So he's just observing.
He tries to get Dumbledore's attention. And so this is a lot like, if you guys remember, Chamber of Secrets, when he falls into the diary and he's seeing Tom Riddle's.
Yeah.
So he's thinking, I'm in some sort of memory.
Yeah. And he's right. He is in some sort of memory. And there, into the courtroom comes...
It's a courtroom. Wait, this is important to... never mind.
Karkaroff is a prisoner and he's being let in by Dementors.
Yeah,
and of course, Harry gets the fucking chilly willies, even though he's not actually there. The Dementors still give him the chilly willies.
Of course. And it's a young Igor Karkaroff. And we see that Mr. Crouch. Notably younger Mr. Crouch.
Is the judge.
Yeah.
By the way, I love how everyone's significantly younger except for Dumbledore. Dumbledore's only a little bit younger.
Dumbledore's just like...
Is he aging at all?
I think he's just living... Maybe he's like very, very old.
Yeah.
So like, what is the difference between, you know, 80 and 400?
100. Yeah.
A lot. I say that and then I started to say that sentence and I was like, boy, my grandma real took a turn in like in a quick 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2 years is a lot when you're 500.
But who knows? So anyways.
Karkaroff is defending himself and he's like, I used to be with the ministry.
He didn't used to be with the ministry.
I wish to be of use to the ministry. Sorry. So he's like, you know, I'm going to give you some names of Death Eaters.
He's pulling a full Tekashi 6ix9ine. He's like, yeah. I am ready. I am prepared to snitch for my freedom.
He's
let me off.
I change
my ways.
Snatch.
I will give you names.
So he starts naming names and the ministry's like, we don't need any of these.
Yeah,
that person's dead.
We already got that person.
That person's been cleared.
Yeah.
He mentions Severus Snape and they're like, we already cleared Severus Snape. And he's like, but he was a Death Eater. And he's like, yeah, but you know, he changed his ways or something. And Dumbledore vouched for him.
Yeah. Dumbledore is like, he's not a Death Eater.
It's, yeah.
He's been cleared by the court.
So Karkaroff, they, Dragon back to Azkaban. I don't remember. Did he ever give them anything that they could use?
They said they got a few names. I mean, he rattled off a lot.
Yeah, tons of names. He was throwing them all out
so
there.
So they're like, all right, we have to decide on our sentencing for you. In the meantime.
You're back to Azkaban.
Yeah. They're like, yeah,
like,
you
no.
Go wait at Azkaban. That's what you fucking do. And he's like, hey, anything. No, because we know Azkaban is fucking
terrible.
And then all of a sudden, scene changes. He's still in the courtroom, but it's a different time. And in comes
Ludo Bagman.
Ludo fucking Bagman. Young Ludo Bagman. This is hot Ludo Bagman.
Hot Ludo Bagman crushing it on the Quidditch field, crushing puss off the Quidditch field.
Yeah, this is like not what we've known of this kind of has-been jolly guy. He's like a, still jolly.
He's a charming athlete.
He comes in, doesn't, by the way, the chair that they had sat Karkaroff in, like magically bound him to the chair.
Yeah.
His wrists and stuff got chained to the chair as soon as he sat down.
So
Bagman doesn't get changed.
Just so you know, in a court of law, if you don't know this, they won't ever put a convict in chains or anything when they're being convicted or sentenced because you don't want the jury to see them as a victim because you're innocent and proven guilty. So Karkaroff was like, you're guilty, kid, whatever.
So that was their way of being like, that's so interesting.
But Ludo Bagman, they're like,
he waves.
He's wonderful.
Smile.
He's just charming everybody. Of course, Crouch and Moody, who are there as well, are just like not having his bullshit.
Yeah. Moody, by the way, has been in every scene leaning up to Dumbledore like, I see right through this.
Of course, I'm like, Moody can probably see him in this fucking memory. Well, Moody can probably see Harry.
No, he doesn't have the eye. Moody had
Moody's normal at the time. So
that's which is crazy because like, this is
did Moody like get an eye job and he like I feel like Moody would have done that to be a better auror. He's like, I'm gonna get the fuck wonky eye put in.
Or he lost his eye and came up with the solution. But I mean, he's literally people are congratulating him on his Quidditch.
Yeah,
match.
People in the jury. So really fucking unbiased.
So
jury.
I mean, it's fucking OJ Simpson of the goddamn fucking wizarding
world. Yeah, again.
Yeah,
just in real life as it is in fiction. Athletes can.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get away with rape and murder.
Fame can just help you be seen. And people just fucking love kissing the ass of famous people. Mm-hmm. And Ludo Bagman goes, was I giving information? Yes. Did I know that I was giving information? I thought I was everything I was giving to this guy, Rookwood, who I assumed
was a good guy.
Was a good guy.
And he didn't end up being
a bad guy. My only crime is being a little bit of an idiot.
Yeah, he's like, my bad. Ugh.
And also, it's like, he has sort of the defense of like, why do you expect me to be smart? I've taken so many bludgers to the head.
Yeah.
It's, you know, which.
It's true. I mean, yeah, your brain's probably kind of fucking dumb.
But yeah, like CTE doesn't mean Aaron Hernandez got off for murder because he didn't. It's like, yeah, no, it's, you should still be held accountable. But people are like, he's a good guy.
I wonder if CTE is a thing in the wizard world or they just like fix your brain afterwards.
I know. I mean, you'd think they'd have a spell for that. So he's released. Crouch is fucking pissed.
Speaking of brain damage, there's another trial after this.
Well, yeah, but I also think it's just to point out, because we know that Winky has said, Mr. Crouch said Ludo Bagman's a bad man.
Yeah.
Now this is one more thing to go, is he a bad man or is Crouch just, we've all already seen him painted as this like relentless character who desperately wants to put people away to look like this strong guy. And this guy got off.
So maybe Crouch is just bitter because...
Not only got off, but then started working in the ministry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's pissed.
He's just... Yeah, really pumps the Crouch's nads.
And then we go to another court case.
And there's four kids.
Four people come in. One is a very young kid. He's like pale-faced white, looking very scared.
Turns out that kid is Crouch's son. We already heard all about this, how Crouch put away his own son. So this is the trial. This is the moment. And the kid is just crying and pleading with his dad.
Like,
I didn't do it.
Father,
I didn't do it.
I'm innocent. I didn't do it. Mother, please tell him I'm not a criminal. And
so the crime of what she actually was being convicted of was doing the
Cruciatus curse on Frank and Alice Longbottom. And Harry leans over to Dumbledore and he's like, or no, that happens later.
That happens later.
I got confused.
Remember that name.
There's
Longbottom.
So many Dumbledores.
Yeah, there's so many Dumbledores. So all of these four people all get convicted. And
yeah. He's, by the way, the only one pleading. The rest of them were like, yeah, we serve
did it.
The Dark Lord.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And when he comes back, he'll remember that we were on his side.
Yeah.
So like the other
And Crouch
three,
is like, you're no son of mine.
Yeah. He just denounces him and his wife is next to him sobbing. And it's like, okay, don't you think, isn't it worth considering that these other three people aren't scared at all? They're just like, fuck you. Yeah. Yes, I serve the Dark Lord. Yeah. I'm not apologizing. I know where my loyalty stands. And your son's going, I didn't do it. Isn't that a little...
I mean, that was a heartbreaking... That was a heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, especially knowing he died a year from that day in Azkaban. Ugh. And then the mom died from a broken heart. I mean, can you imagine?
So...
And he's
Crouch killed his family.
Yeah.
So, at then... But Dumbledore leans over to him in the dream and he's like, we need to get out of here.
Yeah, he sees... He looks over. There's another Dumbledore there. He's like, I think it's time to get back to my office.
So, he transports out into Dumbledore's office and Dumbledore's like, that's a pensive, by the way. It helps you see... magic. It's a magical object that helps you store thoughts and memories, basically.
Yeah. So he basically can take his memories out and put them in this fucking jar so he can have a different objective look at them, which is interesting.
And he's like, oh, yeah. And then Harry's like, wait, was that Longbottom? Was that Neville? Were those Neville's parents?
Oh, that's when he's like, oh, yeah, they mentioned Frank and Alice Longbottom. And Dumbledore explains what happened. He's like, yes, Frank and Alice Longbottom were, you know, on our side and they were very... Big.
Very, very, very popular with all good wizards.
Yeah, and somebody used... And this was after, by the way, the fall of...
Voldemort.
Somebody used the...
Cruciatus curse
on them to torture them. And...
subsequently drove them crazy.
Yeah, so Harry asks if they're dead, and Dumbledore tells him, no, they're in St. Mungo's, which is a hospital which has a ward for people who are have lost their minds. And he's like, you know, Neville goes and visits them, but they don't recognize him. That's why he loses his grandmother. And he makes Harry swear he's not going to tell anyone because, you know, because it's a secret.
Yeah, it's a secret.
But then, of course, Harry has all this sympathy of like, he's known Neville for 4 years.
And he never knew this.
He never knew this. And now we know why when Moody was doing the Cruciatus curse in class.
Yeah.
That it fucked Neville up so
much. Oh, yeah.
Like, because he's never seen that, and he knows that's what happened to his parents.
Oh, God, that is so... That just fucking... Oh, that ruined me.
That's why when we were reading it on the live read, I almost cried, because I knew it was why he was losing it.
Oh, God, that hurts.
It's heartbreaking to go, like, that is what somebody did to my mom and dad.
Neville. Now I just love Neville so much.
I know.
Mark my words, I will never make fun of Neville again.
I don't believe that for a second, but
that's probably
like
not true. Harry tells Dumbledore about his thing with his forehead.
Scar and the vision, etc.
And he's like, Voldemort is definitely gaining power again.
Yeah.
Dumbledore believes that. And Harry's like, well, how can he do that? He doesn't even have a body.
And Dumbledore talks about, he's like, we've had all these disappearances. That was a thing that started happening when Dumbledore was in power last time because we've lost Bertha Jorkins, Mr. Crouch now. And then he mentions there's some muggle named Frank Bryce, but he got lost at the house of Voldemort's father.
I remember that.
We all remember, I think, from the very first chapter. But Harry doesn't say anything. So I don't know if it's... I think it's more... Maybe he wasn't... I mean, if you're viewing a situation happening... Mm-hmm. And this man's getting up and going in here. Unless someone says his name. Maybe he did say his name. But there's so much to dreams. Do you remember everything from a vision? Or
I mean, I just remember the things that I can text people about and be like, you were in my dream. Yeah. I love all the weird shit. I love telling people when they were in my dream. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Really?
I just feel like I want them to know because I feel like maybe they'll have something to offer me as far as deciphering the dream.
Oh, you think that because someone's in your dream, they're... They're
somehow connected to me. Somehow connected to me. Like they might have something to tell me.
I always think if I tell someone, unless they're a very close friend, they're in my dream, they're going to be like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you thinking about me?
I don't, it's like I'm subconsciously thinking about you.
Yeah. Well, the answer is because you need to stop fucking looking at Instagram stories before you
right,
go
before
to
bed. You get about it. And I know that's what it is. And I always cite that. I'm like, it's probably because I saw you on this thing before we went to bed.
It is weird when you have someone who you know, but there's really no significance in your life. And you're like, why are you a featured character in my dream?
It's always weird when you have like a sex dream about him too. You're like, oh God.
Oh man. That is... It's very weird.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this about sex dreams.
Oh. I don't know why I just brought up Earl.
Because everyone's had a sex dream about Earl Skakel. Including Earl Skakel. Do you have this happen with sex dreams? You have a sex dream about someone who previously you were never attracted to.
Uh-huh.
Then after the sex dream, you're like, huh.
Oh, now I'm attracted to them 1,000%.
And you know what's fucked up? You're attracted to them because the sex dream was good. And God forbid, I've made this mistake a lot in the past. You actually fucked that person. What a letdown.
Oh, nobody can live up to dream fucking.
No, it's like, oh, that's crazy. When I dreamt about you 2 weeks ago, you knew how to eat pussy. And yet here we are.
You were slaying the puss in my dream. And right now you're basically just cleansing my vagina.
I had a thing for a while when I was single where I started wondering if my clit was some sort of, not sorcerer's stone, but like a crystal that had powers like the book, The Secret. Because it's like, oh, if I masturbated to someone, 100% I would have sex with them later. Like, you ever masturbate? I mean, I don't do this anymore because I've started, well, first of all, because I can admit that, I don't know if this is psychotic, I masturbate thinking about my boyfriend. Is that weird? Anyway.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Or I have to imagine that he dies in a horrible accident.
And you make his death about you? You're like, I'm going to get so much attention on social media. I'm going to be a hero.
No, I don't do that. But I feel like that's the natural progression.
I am going to speak at his funeral. Oh, it's going to be the wittiest eulogy ever.
I think it's a good sign that I still think about him in terms of sex dreams. But yeah. There were times where I'm attracted to this person I know and I'd fucking fantasize about it, which probably a lot of people do. There shouldn't be anything wrong with it. But now as I'm saying it, I'm like, feels creepy if it's someone you know. Is that non-consensual?
But that's actually something I tweeted once where I'm like, you know, my crush rejected me, but is it okay if I keep masturbating them? Because it feels like kind of rapey. Like, yeah. Oh, you didn't want me, but now in my dream, I'm fucking you. In my dream, I'm just forcing myself upon you, sort of.
Yeah, it's like, but if in the dream they're into it, then are you really? The point is,
this chapter ends with Harry being like, what's the fucking deal with Snape? Really? Are you sure he's not a bad guy?
He's like, come on.
And Dumbledore's like, just fucking trust me. And Harry's like, tell me. And he's like, no, that's between me and Snape. So it's like, all right, fucking, that's the final verdict.
But like, fucking,
And that's it.
And that's actually, that's how it ends. And we'll be right back.
All right, here we go.
Chapter 31.
The third task. Let's just dig into it. Of course, chapter starts off, Harry, Ron, Hermione catching up, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
Harry's still learning spells and whatnot for the third task.
Yeah.
At some point, they see Malfoy. He's got something in his hand, writing letters to Sirius, blah, blah, blah. All of it. I want to get to
you don't ruin this because you want to work out.
No.
I want to
get to the third task because there's so much fucking cool shit in the third task.
But it's all important.
You can't go important.
Blah, blah, blah. But it's a review podcast. We got to talk about the little things. All the little things add up. Nicole.
But it's like the third task is so fun.
I know.
They go in at the same time and then the next one goes in and then the next one goes in and then they're going around. It's so good.
I know, but you can't just be like, Malfoy talks in his hand, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's a huge thing.
Okay, well, I don't know that it's a huge thing. It doesn't seem that consequential.
I mean, it may not be, but like it...
It could be.
Rita Skeeter's been a thing this whole time. They see Malfoy standing next to the talking in his hand in the woods. It's weird. And it gives Hermione a revelation, doesn't it? No, that comes later. I don't even know where you jump to now.
Oh, there's an article in the Daily Prophet where Rita Skeeter paints Harry as this dangerous... Disturbed and dangerous person.
Which Harry kind of like rolls his eyes about it, but she's like, oh, he's a parcel mouth. And there's quotes from Draco Malfoy, which is weird. And it's just this whole, oh yeah, you know, we think he was stunning people in our second year and blah, blah, blah. And there's just a lot of hearsay about his parcel mouth and also that he's somehow connected to Voldemort.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone knows about the scar and the connection, but she's like, there must be something more.
Yes. And it's while reading this article that's when Hermione has a revelation of, oh my God, I think I know how she's doing it. No explanation.
Wait, what does she do? Classic Hermione.
Runs off to the library.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then Professor McGonagall comes to get Harry. This is a part you're going to skip. And this is a very important part. I can't believe you're going to skip this. All of the champions.
I wasn't going to skip that, by the way. I thought that was a very tender, loving part. I love this part.
All of the champions are meeting with their families. So, of course, Harry's like, what are the Dursleys here? I'm very doubtful they're here.
And I had a moment where I was like, oh, what if Sirius like shapeshifts into something? And
yeah, but that would be too much.
But I was just like, oh, he doesn't have his godfather. He doesn't even have a family. I'm like, he's just going to walk in there. There's going to be nobody. It was like, oh, it was so sad.
And then he gets in there and Mrs. Weasley and Bill Weasley are in there.
And that just my fucking heart.
Yeah. And by the way, very small side note, Fleur is checking out Bill Weasley.
Yeah.
She's like, who is this guy with the fucking tooth earrings and the long hair?
Yeah. Hot. Give me some of that Weasley dick.
Cedric's dad, Amos, is there. Classic Friday Night Lights, Tim McGraw football.
Oh, he's a good dick. Call. Such a dick. Friday Night Lights dick to the other player.
Just like, oh, he thinks Harry's stealing all the credit because. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, Cedric beat you once before.
And of course, Cedric's like, I'm so sorry. Like, It's not Harry's fault he got his name drawn out of the fucking Goblet of Fire. Yeah. Cedric's embarrassed, but his dad's just a fucking bro dad, you know? And
you know what I'm also thinking now that we're talking about it? I feel like knowing what happens in the next chapter, I feel like the dad might have some beef with Harry in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah, so there's a big feast, but Harry doesn't eat a lot because fucking he's nervous. And
it's like me going on a first date. I don't want to eat a lot because I don't want to be too full to fuck.
That's crazy. I eat a lot, so I don't eat a lot in front of the person.
Wait, no. But like when you're on the date.
Yeah.
Oh, before the date. You know what? Never mind. Keep going. I just don't like to eat a lot. It makes me farty and bloated. And then we can't, you know, get real freaky. Because I might shit on your dick.
I feel like you might do that anyway.
Yeah, true.
It's also like, to circle back to, what are you dating for? Is it to have sex once and never see someone again? This person needs to know that you have a shitting and farting thing.
Yeah.
I say, lay it out on the table.
I mean, I let everybody know early that I have IBS.
You're the bravest person I know.
Yeah.
That you have such severe IBS and still do anal is astounding to me.
Brave.
I don't do anal, and my bowels are relatively okay most of the time. That's not true. I just
saw the smack you laid down in there.
Yeah, it was brutal. Anyway, Harry and Cedric, they're in first place, so they get to enter the maze first. What's cool about the maze, I think, is this crowd is cheering and going crazy. As soon as you enter the maze,
you can't hear it.
You can't.
You're just in this like weird, isolated world. So Cedric and Harry enter.
They run down the first fork in the maze. They're like, I'll see you later.
And then they hear is it a bell? Is it a horn?
Oh, they hear the whistle again.
The whistle again. That means
Cedric's coming in.
Victor's coming.
Yeah,
and then they hear another one 30 seconds later. That means Fleur's coming in. So now all of the champions are in.
Yeah. And so Harry's off doing his thing. He's got this cool spell Hermione taught him to conjure up a compass.
Yeah.
Because he knows that the cup is in the northwest
quadrant.
So he keeps pulling out a thing and figuring out where northwest is.
Great idea.
His path for a long time was relatively easy.
Yeah.
Like almost too easy.
Yeah. He's like freaked out about how easy it is.
Yeah. It's just fucking creepy. He runs into Cedric again, who's like, oh shit.
Cedric, it was a little fucked up
blasted it screwed.
Yeah.
So he's just sleeves of his robe on fire type of thing. And
he was like, they're fucking huge.
Yeah. Holy fuck. Watch
Hagrid
out.
Grew the biggest blast ended scroots.
And it's like, was Hagrid growing these for the tournament? Or was Hagrid just doing this because he's Hagrid? And then he's like, well, I guess we found a use for him because this tournament.
I mean, it's whatever he did. He made monsters.
Yeah. So anyway, they split up again. Harry runs off and runs into a Dementor. Yeah. And he's like, I know what I've got to do. He imagined himself, happiest moment he could think of, winning. And he's like, expecto patronum. And then it turns out to be a boggart. So he, ridiculous.
By the way, when he did expecto patronum, I was so excited.
That's stag. And he can do it now. I mean, he went through so much in the last book that with the Dementors, and now knowing he can just confidently be like, no, bitch. Bye, bitch.
You find that happy thought, and you fling it out of your frickin' wand.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, that's down. Time to keep going. And then he hears a scream. It's a woman screaming.
And he thinks it's Fleur, and he's like, oh, shit, is she in trouble?
He's like, I hope she's all right. And then he's like, but also if she's not.
Well, not in the tournament anymore. Down. One less thing to worry about.
Shitty thought, but would most of us have it in a situation
absolutely
like that?
Absolutely.
Probably
would be my first thought.
Yeah, and you're not thinking.
And then my second thought is she okay?
I mean, yeah. And then obviously most people are like, I hope she's dead. It's just like, I hope she had to send up those red things and she's disqualified. Because that's what they say, by the way, at the beginning. They have McGonagall and a couple other people circling the maze. Mm-hmm. And if you get into trouble,
send a red flare up.
You send up a red flare out of your wand, and then you're disqualified from the maze.
Yeah, but they'll come and get you.
And save you. So that way, you know, preventing fucking imminent death, I guess. And then Harry runs into a blast and it's Groot. And he's shooting stun spells at it, but they're bouncing off because it's an armored animal. It's like an armadillo. But he manages to get underneath
it. He finds a soft spot.
Yeah. Scroot down. I just spit all over my...
Scroot down.
Scroot down.
We gotta
scroot down.
Scroot down.
Scroot down. And then as he's walking through the bushes, he overhears...
What the hell are you doing?
Cedric. And then he hears Victor Crumb's voice cast the Cruciatus curse. Crucio.
Oh, and I love this part because the whole time I'm thinking, why don't they just burrow through the walls of the maze? So Harry actually burrows through the wall of the maze.
He burns a hole through the wall with his wand.
To get to Cedric.
Yeah, and he stuns Victor. And it's like, what the fuck? First of all, he sends up red sparks from Victor's wand. He's like, you're stunned. They'll come to get you. But it's like,
what? Why would Victor want this so badly that he would do an unforgivable curse?
That's crazy.
I think whoever is in cahoots with Voldemort, whoever put Harry's name into the Goblet of Fire, I think that person might be controlling
Victor. Like doing the whatever that curse is.
Because I don't think Victor would have done that.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
From Durmstrang?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't see him as like, I don't think he was like a double agent.
Yeah, I guess. Interesting. Yeah, it's all just a clusterfuck. But what's interesting to me is it doesn't say that Harry did a counter curse.
Yeah.
Do you have to maintain the Cruciatus curse? Is it a thing where you have to hold the wand and keep torturing them? I guess so.
Yeah.
Because it's not, as we know with Neville's parents, it doesn't kill you.
It just makes you go fucking insane.
It just puts you in so much pain. But I guess if you hold someone on it for a long time.
The pain drives you crazy.
Cedric's okay. He's definitely shaken. But, you know, Harry helps him up and they're both off again. So now it's kind of like, oh, it's just me versus Cedric at this point. Anyway, Harry's off. And then he runs into a sphinx, which has the head of a woman, and a body of a lion.
Yeah.
I didn't know about a sphinx, but I guess when I think about the Egyptian sphinx.
Sphinx, like, that's what it looks like. But I'm not remembering like a woman's face per se.
No, but I guess maybe, you know, whoever did the art on that big sphinx is just, you know, arguably Mona Lisa's androgynous.
Yeah, very androgynous.
So he has to do a riddle. Here's the thing. She's like, I have a riddle for you. If you get it right, you can pass. This is the quickest way to the cup.
Honestly.
If you get it wrong, I'm going to attack you. But you could also say nothing, and then you could just walk away and take another route. So he does this riddle.
And gets the riddle, by the way.
He figures it out.
I could never figure. I can't even remember what it was. It was like, the answer ended up being a spider.
Yeah. Well, it was someone who is who lies for a living and is constantly, I don't know. It's
a spy. The answer was a spy
it's
for that.
The middle of middle and end of end. That's D. Uh-huh. And a sound you make when you're trying to think of word, think of the right word. And Harry always goes, So I got it pretty quickly, but then I was like, this is actually probably just because you've read the book before.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, I know what it is. And then I was like, I've read this before.
Yeah. I'm also not a riddle person. So I was like, well, I'd be fucking dead.
Yeah. Harry was worried too, but he gets past and he's like, oh, fuck, it's happening. He approaches the Triwizard Cup, but Cedric is on the path in front of him. So it's just like, oh, shit, Cedric's about to beat me. They're sprinting. Cedric's ahead of him. And Harry sees something coming out of a bush on the left that Cedric doesn't see because he's fucking
hauling ass.
And Harry's like, on your left.
And he saves Cedric, basically.
Well, yeah, there's a giant spider coming out at Cedric. Oh, and they, between the two of them shooting stun spells and stuff at it, they managed to bring it down.
Yeah.
It had actually grabbed Harry.
And fucked up Harry's leg.
Yeah, well, this is how his leg got fucked up. It's not because of the way the spider grabbed him. He gets grabbed by this giant, we're talking... fucking
huge spider.
That spider from the woods.
Yeah.
From the forest.
The big ass spider.
Yeah. So he lifts him up and Harry, panicking, not knowing what to do, does Expelliarmus, which is how to de-wand someone. And
the spider lets him go.
Expels Harry and he's like 12 feet in the air. So yeah. Fucking crunch. His leg's fucked up.
Okay, wait, really quick. I called this ending.
Oh, I was gonna say this. For those of you who aren't patrons, just so you know, when we started the chapter, she was like, I'm calling it now. Harry and Cedric are going to win together. But she said, Cedric's going to get injured, but Harry's going to be a hero and help him to the thing. I want to know, what led you to that?
I don't know.
Was it Other, was it because other it, movies you've seen?
Was it, it has to be, it had to have been something where one of them was in the lead and then, you know, Cedric, I imagine Cedric in the lead got hurt and Harry's like, well, you would have gotten to it. Let me carry you.
You thought that Harry would go, you would have gotten to it if you didn't get injured in this course that's designed for us to get injured.
Yes, yes. I feel like Harry wouldn't have taken it no matter what.
You think Harry's that noble?
Yes, I think Harry's that noble. So I was like, the only reason Cedric wouldn't have made it is if Cedric got injured.
So you thought it's going to be this big, beautiful, they both touch the cup, yeah. Mm-hmm. Both Hogwarts champions, mm-hmm. Split the gold. Mm-hmm. Well, in a way, you were right. So Harry's badly injured, and they're in this sort of British polite off of like, Harry's like, go, take it.
No, you know.
At least it's a Hogwarts victory. Yeah, and Cedric's like, no, you helped me repeatedly. And then Harry's like, we'll take it at the same time. So Cedric helps him up, and it's this very beautiful, noble Cedric and Harry walking to the cup, and they grab the handle at the same time, and immediately they're like pulled in this, it's like a wind of swirling color. They're being pulled somewhere. And this is the end of the chapter where, in the live reading, Nicole goes, yay! And that's where we end this chapter, was with Nicole.
I was very excited. This was going to be great. I thought beautiful things are coming ahead.
And she's like, I did it. I was right. I'm always right.
And then
all is well.
And then this happens.
Chapter 32, Flesh, Blood, and Bone.
Let me just say again. That last chapter was so satiating. Number one, because I was right. Number two, because it had everything I wanted. It had every character. You're seeing new sides of every character. You're seeing, you know, the wizardry in action. You're seeing what they're fucking made of. You're finally seeing Harry just drop his big old wizard dick. It's like, this kid isn't just good at Quidditch. He's good at fucking everything because Harry's a fucking G.
Or did they keep the course semi-light? Like,
I don't know. I don't know if that's light by wizard standards.
Well, because there was so much that Harry was like, it's weird that I have seen. I mean, he definitely ran into things, but it was like, were they shorthanded on creatures to pop out at
yeah.
him? Or was it like all planned for him to get through quicker?
Yeah.
And also, does he somehow have more confidence after the second task where Ron was like, I mean, they weren't actually going to let us die.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't think that. And he felt stupid. So now is he like, all right, well, no, they're not going to let us die. Anyway, on that note, they land with a thump. Harry falls over. His leg's fucking injured. Harry and Cedric are in this, like, deserted, nighttime, spooky graveyard situation. Nobody knows what's going on. And they're thinking, apparently the Triwizard Cup was like a portkey.
Yeah.
Is this part of
the Triwizard Tournament?
Like,
yeah.
Is this a thing we have to get through?
So they're like, let's get our wands out.
Yeah, Cedric says it, and Harry's like, thank God he said it, because I didn't want to look like a pussy. But, and then all of a sudden, there's a hooded figure approaching both of them. And Harry's scar explodes with pain, like worse than we've ever heard.
It's like the radar's blowing up.
Yeah, he like clenches his eyes shut, and he's falling over.
It's like somebody put the Cruciatus curse on him. That's how much pain he's in.
He's just like severe, debilitating pain, and he hears a voice say, kill the spare. And then a killing curse. The bright green, he hears someone go, Avada Kedavra. And the bright green that Harry knows from his parents' death blasts past him.
And then he hears a thud.
Yeah. And he's so afraid to open his eyes, he opens his eyes. And Cedric
is dead.
Lying dead on the ground. What?
Oh my God.
Fuck.
His dad is going to hate Harry forever. Cho is going to be mad at Harry. Everyone's going to think Harry did it. Everybody's going to be devastated. Everybody's going to think Harry threw him under the bus to do it because Rita Skeeter painted this horrible image of him.
I love that your brain goes to, oh my God, everyone's going to think so poorly of Harry when we don't even know if Harry can get out of this situation.
You know what? He'll get out of the situation. There's more books.
Maybe he turns evil. Did you ever consider that?
All I know is the school year is going to look real weird.
The next book is called The Order of the Phoenix.
The school year is going to look really weird next year.
Not only that, but someone who's, has been becoming a friend just fucking died in front of him. So trauma.
He is going to have to do so much EDMR for this trauma.
Oh, God. Brain spotting today in therapy.
Every time you say brain spotting, I think of Train Spotting. And that movie is fucked up.
I think of the name Trainspotting, and I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. I think it's about heroin or something.
It is. I think heroin is an element in it, but yes.
Yeah. Apparently, Trainspotting, was invented from EMDR. Mm-hmm. It's a new therapy that my therapist has brought up that we may be trying.
That's, I mean, if you throw enough shit at the wall, it might fix your brain.
I mean, I've been throwing shit and throwing shit. You saw that stack of self-help books that I threw at you.
Yeah, you're not fucking around.
Yeah. I'm trying to be better. So anyways, he opens his eyes. That's happened. And a hooded figure grabs Harry and starts pulling him over to a tombstone.
And then ties him to the tombstone.
By the way, he sees the tombstone says Tom Riddle.
And then he sees under the hood and it's fucking Wormtail.
Wormtail.
Oh, no, no, no. He sees a hand missing a finger and he's like, well, that's Wormtail.
Yeah, he figures out who it is.
Yeah.
Between that.
And Wormtail's like being so fucking weird, like weirder than he's ever been.
I mean, he's.
By the way, in my head, I'm also thinking, you know, everything about that Dumbledore had said about like, well, now Wormtail kind of owes you.
Yeah. No.
I'm like, oh, he'll be fine. Harry's going to be fine.
You think he's going to be fine?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm like, oh, Wormtail at the last minute is going to snap and have like a revelation that like,
Wormtail,
oh, he should have.
This fucking coward.
Yes, yes, yes. At some point.
Lived as a rat.
Oh, that, I don't know, might have a breakthrough. I'm being hopeful. I'm being hopeful.
You think between Harry and Lord Voldemort, he's going to go, this is the right choice to save my ass.
Just let me have a little bit of hope. It creates a bit of suspense for this, okay?
What you have hope that a human rat is going to become a better person.
Yes, because I think at some point the loyalty to the greatest wizard ever, who is Harry, not Voldemort, is going to supersede his loyalty to Voldemort. Let's keep going.
And that Harry will be strong enough and in a position to help.
I don't fucking know, but anywho. So that Harry sees this like wriggling thing that looks like a baby like swaddled in a bundle.
Yeah, it's...
And it's not a baby.
Yeah, it's... It comes out and it's this gross, like hair. It's described as a hairless and scaly looking, a dark, raw, reddish black. Its arms and legs were thin and feeble, and its face, no child alive ever had a face like that, flat and snake like, with gleaming red eyes. It's fucking gross. Wormtail has pulled up this giant vat,
Oh, he makes a huge cauldron, lights a fire underneath it. It's getting hot super fast.
Yeah, and Harry's like, I've never seen a cauldron that big. A whole man could go in there. What the fuck?
And what's going in there? A whole man.
Yeah, and
Wormtail lowers this fucking creature into it.
Yeah, and Harry is sitting there just like,
please drown, please drown, please drown, please drown.
Let him fuck this up. Wormtail begins a spell. He throws some
also,
power
by the way,
cauldron.
I'm also thinking too, oh, Wormtail's going to fuck this up.
Wormtail's no, he fucks things up.
How's Wormtail going to get this right?
That's a worthwhile consideration that like, oh, maybe he'll just fudge it up. He seems to have been making mistakes left and right. But he goes, bone of the father, unknowingly given. Wormtail cuts off his own arm.
Fucking arm.
He cuts off his arm. For this, he goes, flesh of the servant will willingly given. You will revive your master. He's obviously fucking terrified. He's lost his goddamn mind.
Yeah.
And sorry for that.
Sorry.
Harry doesn't look. He just hears him and he saws off his fucking arm and drops it.
For this fucking guy.
The whole arm.
The whole, first the finger a few years ago, now just the whole goddamn arm.
He is like the giving tree for evil people. Oh, what next?
Oh, what an analogy.
Just take everything. No, please have my body, my soul. And then he says for the last ingredient, but blood of the enemy forcibly taken. And that blood, of course, Harry Potter's.
Yeah.
He uses a dagger to cut the inside of Harry's arm. So fucking painful.
Takes a vial, scoops up some blood.
And drips it in.
Drips it into the cauldron.
And then the cauldron turns
white.
Now
the recipe's complete.
Surge of white steam just billows everywhere. And then, I mean, out of that, we see a resurrected...
fucking Voldemort.
Voldemort is back.
Skeletal thin Voldemort.
This is where we stopped our live reading. So this is a short chapter review, but like, let's examine this for just a little bit. Because
so much has happened.
We just did the live reading for this last night. How do you feel about... we closed on... and he's officially back.
I have no idea where this is going to go. I also have, now that he's back, the entire dynamics of the wizard world are going to be changed. What is school going to look like? Is everybody going to be living in fear every day? Are we going to even be at school anymore? Does school even matter now that Voldemort's back? Do you just go on continuing with the world? It's like Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden came back. And it's like, how do we just go about our way again?
Yeah, no, it's fucking crazy. And also right now, he is in a graveyard somewhere.
Nobody, does anyone even know where he is?
No,
I hope Dumbledore does.
I hope so, but it's like, if that was a portkey, the portkey's gone. The portkey comes with you.
Yeah. So nobody can port key to where you are.
Unless you know where they are. You can't apparate there.
Yeah.
You can't disapparate on the Hogwarts grounds anyway.
Fuck.
So he's fucking trapped, facing Voldemort, tied to a goddamn fucking grave.
Tom Riddle's fucking grave. Tied to Tom Riddle's grave. Voldemort is resurrected right in front of him. Wormtail's got no fucking arm.
Cedric is dead.
That guy's going to die of an infection or just bleed out.
I mean,
Wormtail's done. If Wormtail doesn't die after this, I'll know magic is real.
Do you think now, with Wormtail with an arm cut off, you still think that he is going to switch?
I think he's under the, what's
Imperious
the...
Imperius
It's Imperius Curse, yeah.
Where you can control them?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you were... either he's almost okay at fighting it, if he's under the Imperius Curse, mm-hmm. or he's not under the Imperius Curse. The reason I wouldn't think he's under the Imperius Curse is because we know from overhearing McGonagall and professors talk about James and all these guys in their youth, that Pettigrew was sort of like a weak wizard, mm-hmm. a hanger-on. So I wouldn't imagine him being able to actively fight that
okay.
curse. And if you were under the curse, I don't think you'd be as nervous as he is.
So here, I'm gonna make a prediction.
All right. Here's our prediction before the last chapter, before the final readings and final episode on the books.
At some point, Wormtail is going to come to his senses and help Harry get away.
Yeah.
So Voldemort will still be in action, but Wormtail's going to be like, oh, what have I done? This guy he saved my life. Now I need to save his life.
So you think in some way, yeah. Wormtail's going to step in and get Harry out of this
yeah.
situation.
Yes. That's the only thing I can think of. I cannot fathom where this is fucking headed. That is probably the only, somehow Dumbledore knows where he is. I don't know.
And as someone who up to this point has prided themselves on thinking that they've got J.K. Rowling's formula
mm-hmm.
locked down. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? Are you like, oh, she fucking got me. I've been got. Or are you like, I'm still.
I knew this Voldemort resurrection was going to happen at some point. I just didn't think it was going to happen this fucking soon.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was like, maybe the next book.
Interesting.
Maybe the next book.
Very interesting.
Like, in the fourth book? The fourth book of seven, Voldemort comes into the picture.
Yeah.
Voldemort's got to make it to the end. What, are they going to be fighting Voldemort for three books?
I mean, do you remember? Voldemort wasn't in power for a week last time. He was in power for a long time.
But I can't even fathom this. This is crazy.
All right, you guys. Well, let us know what you think of this episode. Head over, follow us on... What the fuck?
All the social media.
Instagram, Twitter, @2PhillyNerds. We also have a Facebook page. I'm trying to post more shit there as well. We have a Facebook group, Fellowship of the Filthy Nerds. And
no spoilers. Please don't post spoilers.
Yeah, I moderate it, but so does Nicole technically. So try not to post spoilers.
And just don't write to me about shit.
Yeah, you can write to me about shit. And if you want more action from us, you want to be part of our live readings, our
live readings are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I get pretty insane.
Yeah, we've started with the lighter chapters. Doing fun accents for all the characters instead of just the regular British. And you get to see Nicole lose her shit in real time when you're like, dragons! Oh my God, Cedric's dead! Oh my God. So patreon.com/2filthynerds. Support us. Be part of the fun. And
oh, and visit our YouTube.
Yeah, come see
We've
us.
Got videos.
We made a whole... We're in a Ravenclaw common room.
Yeah.
Come check it out.
We got a backdrop. We got throw pillows. We got blankets.
We got a fucking owl.
We have an owl. We have a real owl.
We have a live owl, and nobody is subscribing to our YouTube.
Ugh.
Anyway, we'll see you next time.